So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Zach McKeska. I'm an elder here. If you haven't had that much interaction with me, it might be because I'm usually upstairs with the elementary kids during the second service. And so I'm usually up there when y'all arrive, and then I'm heading down when y'all are going to lunch. And so there might be Sundays you never see me, but I'm usually here, I promise. I am always honored to give a message from this pulpit, this pulpit. I am a very strong believer in the community of Christians and in the priesthood of all believers, that everyone has something valuable to say to their brothers and sisters in Christ. And I hope that at least something I say today will be meaningful and used by God. He can do great things with terrible stuff. So here we go. I was trying to think about what to say, because it's been a while since I've preached, and I tend to like actually to just go off of a text. That's what I'm used to with the elementary kids. I just have a passage of scripture, and we talk about it, and then we do art or play games, talk about each other's day, and have a little tiny community of tiny people. But today, I wanted to talk about something that I've actually struggled with for a long time. Most of my Christian life, I have lacked resolution on this particular topic. But recently, I had an epiphany earlier this year, and I thought I would share my discovery in case anyone else here had ever wondered about these things. So growing up as a young man, I did go to church, and as a Christian, what I understood was that Christians were supposed to be developing contentment within themselves, similar to other virtues like patience or kindness or forgiveness. You, as a Christian, were supposed to be developing contentment. Contentment being this state of satisfaction, satisfaction being a fulfillment of one's wishes or expectations, or the pleasure derived from such fulfillment. Thank you, Webster. I believed very strongly that this meant that I was supposed to be in a state of peace or at rest about myself, about my relationship with my friends or my family, about the world at school at the time and then work later on. And if I wasn't there, that was okay, but that's where I should be moving towards, is this state of restful contentment about my life. But there was this other thing that I also understood to be true as a Christian, which is that I was supposed to be constantly striving for something more, a deeper relationship with God. I was supposed to be more compassionate a year from now than I am today. That I should be more caring for my friends and my family and my neighbor, the stranger, even my enemy. I need to be working always to get better at this. There are spiritual aspects within ourselves that we should always be working to be better for, because our goal is Christ-likeness, and I'm not there. And I doubt anyone here is. If you are, please come talk to me. I have much to learn. But these two aims, as I understood them in my adolescent mind, seemed to be at odds with each other. Am I supposed to be dissatisfied with my current spiritual state, which will then propel me to action or study or kindness, while also working to be satisfied with my current self? I had to be missing something. Something didn't add up. They seemed to be actively working against each other. Well, I'm going to give up that and just go do math homework, right? I've had enough of that. But when I got older, instead of getting easier for those two things to kind of merge, it got worse, because I became more aware of the world. And I got to tell you, there is a tremendous amount of things in this world that I am not content with. And you can fill in the box, right, for yourself, right? But maybe war, the mistreatment of children, or wealth inequality. Like, there are things about this world that are wrong, and it is right. it is holy for me not to be okay with those things. So at the same time, God calls us to an abundant and joyful life. But how am I supposed to live an abundant, joyful life while there are these terrible things happening in my world or my nation or my neighborhood, right? I must be missing something. It doesn't add up. I guess I'll go make dinner. As I said, I had a breakthrough recently, though, and I do want to share this with you today. But before I get there, I wanted to remind you of three things that I hold to be true of the Christian life, maybe even central to them, and hopefully they're not things that you vehemently disagree with. If so, again, talk to me about it afterwards. I like talking to people. So number one, as a Christian, we accept that God's way is the true way or the right way, right? So just in general, every Sunday, you've heard it from Pastor Zane, he encourages us to reshape our hearts and minds to be like the heart and mind of Jesus. We recently had a sermon series on the Beatitudes where we had these statements from Jesus that we were supposed to kind of rethink and reshape our worldview around because it wasn't our worldview. And as a follower of God, you must think at some level that what God says about you, about themselves, about the world, this whole cosmic journey is true. That his way of living, his way of viewing the world is better or more accurate than, say, a Scientologist's way of viewing the world. That God's way of viewing the world is better or more accurate than how capitalism views relationships and time and money. That it is better to forgive than to desire revenge for wrongs suffered, much less act on it. That it is better to be generous with what you have than it is to keep it all to yourself. That there is life after death. Now, we don't always feel that these things are true. And we certainly don't always act like those things are true. But Christianity is a religion based on God's way being the true or right way for the world. So that's principle number one. Number two is that as Christians, our primary call to action is to be about the will of God. Now, we do the will of the Father even when we don't want to because we believe that their way is the right way. Christians are to be a people of love and kindness and generosity and compassion even when it is costly. And we are to be a people who follow Jesus' teachings even when it does not look like success. Number two. And then the third one, I'm going to get some help from one of the Psalms to lay some foundation. And in particular, I want you to pay attention to the end, because that's what I'm going to focus on here. And I think it was David who wrote it, but if I'm wrong, so be it. This is Psalm 17. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry, give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From you let my vindication come. Let your eyes see the right. If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress. As for what others do by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Guard me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me, they close their hearts to pity. With their mouths they speak arrogantly. They track me down, now they surround me, they set their eyes to cast me to the ground. They are like a lion, eager to tear, like a young lion lurking in ambush. Rise up, O Lord. Confront them, overthrow them. By your sword, deliver my life from the wickedness of mortals. By your hand, O Lord, from mortals whose portion in life is in this world. May their bellies be filled with what you have stored up for them. May their children have more than enough. May they leave something over to their little ones. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. And when I wake, I will be satisfied beholding your likeness. We don't often talk about what we get out of the Christian life. We often talk about what it costs. Because it costs. There's a price. And we often talk about what we should be doing, but not what do we get out of it outside of eternal life. As Christians, what we get out of the Christian life is God. God is our portion. It does not promise wealth. Quite the opposite. We are to give generously, which, as I understand it, is not how you accumulate wealth. It does not promise fame. We are to walk in humility. It does not promise rest. Quite the opposite. We are to be servants of all. And there's no retirement date. So what we are promised is God and eternal life. That is our portion. So three things. As Christians, we accept that God's way is the right way, that we are to be about the will of the Father, regardless of whatever that outcome is, and that our ultimate reward for such a life is God and eternal life. So with these ideas in mind, I am going to encourage you to redefine and re-understand your idea of Christian contentment as follows. That it is following God's leadership and guidance and being satisfied by what that produces in your life. Follow God's leadership and guidance and be satisfied with what that produces in your life. So both of these things are very difficult independently. Together, they're even more difficult. So following God's leadership and guidance is challenging because it calls us to think and to act in a manner that usually goes against our natural instincts or our cultural norms, right? And it calls you to constantly evolve, right? Many times in my life, I feel like I'm in a really good place and I figured out what God wants for my life. And, you know, my marriage is great and my relationship with my son is fantastic and I love my job, right? And then next week, I've lost it all. You know, I got to refigure out things. Why? Because life is constantly changing. I'm constantly changing. And the same is true for your Christian walk. You will never be at a place where you're done. And that's hard. It's very hard. But it's also hard to be satisfied by what that produces in your life because we have natural and cultural desires that may remain unmet. Who wouldn't want a lake house or a villa in France, right? Who doesn't want to have these amazing and incredible life experiences? To be able to spend your time freely, to sleep in on a Sunday, or whatever, fill in the blank for whatever it is that you want in your life for satisfaction that you're not sure you're ever going to get because you're being obedient to the Father. It's hard. And some of those desires are petty, right? some of them are very light, but others are very real and they're very genuine. And there are people who are begging God for things that they can't get themselves. And they're waiting for him to move. And those desires they're not meaningless. They're not meaningless. I'm not saying that it's easy. It's hard. It's really hard to be satisfied by what following the will of God produces in your life. But I think that's how we find contentment while moving and acting. One of our three core values here at the church is commune with God. Communing, as I like to describe it, is sitting down and having IBC root beer with the Lord, right? You just sit down, and y'all are just relaxing at a table, chatting about the day, enjoying your favorite beverage. And the sense of satisfaction that can come from that. And maybe, I hope you've experienced it, because it's very fulfilling. And what we've been talking about, China reinforces the importance of making that a part of the of your life. When we follow God, your portion is not a life without little pleasures or just to be to work, which is sometimes what it feels like. I remember a poignant moment when I was 30, and I was like, I have 35 more years of this. It was just this weight that kind of settled on me. It's like, wow, that's a long time remaining. I'm not, okay. All that to say, I have yet to get tired of the presence of God. It hadn't happened yet. Your portion is not the wealth of life experience that you have or those precious items that you gather that you're going to be able to pass on to your children. Your portion is God. And communing with God is the best part about being a Christian. Probably second best is the loving community that you have, but as I'm sure you've experienced, sometimes that loving community isn't as loving as it's supposed to be. But man, when you commune with God, that's the good stuff. And I've had a number of conversations this year with people very important to me about how they have stopped experiencing God's presence. That they used to go to church on a Sunday, and man, it's like they're floating on a cloud because they got to worship, and they just felt his presence. Or when they were just sitting in the study and reading the Bible or in prayer, and all of a sudden they just feel this wind rush through their spirit or this sense of peace when they were anxious, these amazing things. And then nothing. What was once this flavorful, amazing meal is now just a dry piece of toast. And that's a very hard place to be. And I don't have an answer for that. I don't. I wish I did. Man, I wish I had the answer to that. I'd probably be a traveling preacher if I had the answer to that. It's like if everywhere I showed up and spoke, the Holy Spirit fell, yeah, I would not be a software developer. But if you find yourself in that place, because again, God is your portion. If you find yourself in that place, what I would encourage you to do is wherever you experience God, spend time in that space. If it's in art, if it's in the mountains, if it's at the beach, if it is in a garden, just sitting in a garden by yourself, I don't know. I don't. Whatever it is, if it's at a particular restaurant, I used to have a favorite restaurant that got shut down, and it wasn't the food, but just the atmosphere. It felt. I don't know why. I don't know what it was. The colors or the I can't explain it. But I literally could just go there and sit, and I loved it. If you find that, pursue it. I say pursue it because as much as it is important to be in God's word, and as important it is to be praying and have that be a part of your regular spiritual practices, it is important that you are experiencing God's presence because that is where life is found in the Christian walk. It's not here at Sweetwater Christian Church. It's wherever God is. Does that make sense? It's not in your car, but it could be. If that's where you get your alone time, if that's where you can sit and be and talk with God, That's where the Christian life is found. And I hope, I really hope that we can be a people who can be content with the Christian life. That we can be a people that follow God's leadership and his guidance and be satisfied with what that produces in our life. Would you pray with me? Father, I believe that you are a God who is living and active in the world, in this place, in my life. This is why we come to you. This is why we want to know more about you, because your way is right. And I ask that you would send your blessing on this place, that you would send your blessing on these people, because that's what we want, God. We want your presence. We want your blessing so that we can bring hope to the hopeless places in this world. And we can experience you and live in that eternal life. Amen.